ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So this is chapter 4 of the Narada Bhakti Sutras. Let us go right to it. The first thing Narada says, the true nature of pure love of God is beyond description. Trying to describe the experience of pure love of God is like a mute person trying to describe what he tastes. Nonetheless, from time to time, pure love of God is revealed to those who are qualified. Pure love of God manifests as the most sublime consciousness, devoid of material qualities and material desires, increasing at every moment and never interrupted. Having obtained pure love of God, one looks only at the Lord, hears only about Him, speaks only of Him, and thinks only of Him. So, the best way to fully grasp pure love of God is to study Lord Chaitanya, especially the chapters dealing with the Ratha Yatra in the Madhya Leela, and the final chapters, 15 through 20, of the Antya Leela. I recommend you to study those chapters. They will give you a graphic detail of what is pure love of God in its highest degree. But the life and teachings of Lord Chaitanya is a practical, authoritative presentation of what is pure love of God. Secondary devotional service is of three kinds, according to which of the three material modes predominates, or according to which material motivation, distress, and so on brings one to bhakti. So, of course, you might have heard from me, there is devotional service in the mode of ignorance, in the mode of passion, and the mode of goodness. That section, I recently did a class on it, is found in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the story of Lord Kapila. And if you want to know the exact place, I can find that for you. Secondary devotional service is of three kinds, according to which of the three material modes predominates, or according to which material motivation brings one to bhakti. So there, Narada is referring to Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, verse 16. Four kinds of pious men begin to render devotional service unto me, Krishna says. The distressed, the desire of wealth, the inquisitive, and one who is searching for knowledge of the Absolute. Let's continue. Each earlier stage should be considered better than the one following it. So, that, I'm not sure what he's referring to, because obviously one who is searching for knowledge of the Absolute Truth is better. So I don't know what Narada is referring to. I'm not sure. Let's continue. Success is easier to attain by devotional service than by any other process. So, that immediately reminds me of Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, verse 2. Let's go there. The verse is, very, very famous verse. This knowledge is the king of education, the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting and is joyfully performed. So the line, susukam. So here, it says it is joyfully. So, here he says, success is easier to obtain by devotional service. So if something is joyful, it's definitely easier than something that's painful. Just like you're experiencing with one practice of devotional service, you're finding very dry, and therefore it's not easy for you. So, but the process of bhakti, Narada is saying, is easier to attain success than any other process, such as karma, jnana, or yoga. These are the processes people pursue. People pursue fruitive action, mental speculation, or mystic yoga. The reason devotional service is the easiest of all spiritual processes is that it does not depend on any other authority for its validity, being itself the standard of authority. So what Narada is saying here is, bhakti or devotional service is the benchmark. Everything else is compared to or in relation to devotional service. Let's go on. Furthermore, bhakti is the embodiment of peace and supreme ecstasy. After consigning to the Lord all one's mundane and Vedic duties, one no longer need worry about worldly loss. Very similar to what we learn in Bhagavad Gita 18:66. Surrender to me, I will deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not worry, do not fear, do not hesitate. Even after one has achieved devotional service, one should not abandon responsibilities in this world, which is what a lot of people think. A lot of people think like that. No. Narada is saying, you still have to do your responsibilities in this world. But one should rather continue surrendering the results of one's work to the Lord. And this is also mentioned by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. And while still trying to reach the stage of pure devotion, one must certainly continue executing prescribed duties. And there is the there's a section in the Chaitanya Charitamrita where Lord Chaitanya is hearing from Ramananda Roy. And Lord Chaitanya would meet him every night, and they would have a question and answer session. So the first question Lord Chaitanya asked Ramananda Roy, what is the perfection of life? So Ramananda Roy started with Varnashram, then went to renunciation, and each thing that Ramananda Roy said, Lord Chaitanya said, not really, I don't accept this because it's external or material. But then Ramananda Roy quoted a verse from the Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma's prayers to Krishna after Lord Brahma stole the cowherd boys and calves. This was mentioned at the most recent Kundan Loka program. So when Ramananda Roy quoted this verse from Lord Brahma's prayers, stating that Lord Brahma said, one can remain in their social position within the Varna. Do you know what I mean by Varnashram? Do you know what that means? That term, whenever you hear that word Varnashram, it means Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas. Do you understand that? That's what it means by Varnashram. So, Ramananda Roy, quoting Lord Brahma, says, you remain. You don't have to change. You stay as you are, but you begin to hear about Krishna from devotees. Then in this particular translation of this verse, because Prabhupada quotes this verse throughout his purports, because it's a big verse. So in this particular setting, he really gives an elaborate translation. In fact, why don't I just go there and find it? So let's pause. So I pick up. Ramananda Roy is answering the questions of Lord Chaitanya. Ramananda Roy is considered Shudra. The Shudra is instructing the sannyasi. Very unusual. After hearing this, the Lord, as usual, rejected it, considering it to be external devotional service. He again asked Ramananda Roy to speak further, and Ramananda Roy replied, pure devotional service, without any touch of speculative knowledge, is the essence of perfection. And now he quotes the verse why he's saying that. And here's the verse. Jnane prayasa mudapasya namanta eva jivanti san mukaritam bhavadiya vartam sthane stita shuti gitang tanuvan manobir ye prayasho jitta jitopi asya trice trilokyam. Now here's the elaborate translation. Ramananda Roy continued, Lord Brahma said to Krishna, my dear Lord, those devotees who have thrown away the impersonal conception of the Absolute Truth and have therefore abandoned discussing empiric philosophical truths should hear from self-realized devotees about your holy name, form, pastimes, and qualities. They should completely follow the four regulative principles of devotional service and remain free from illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, and animal slaughter, surrendering themselves fully with words, body, and mind. They can live in any ashram or social status. Indeed, you are conquered by such persons, although you are always unconquerable. And so it was at this point Lord Chaitanya says, this is all right, but still you can speak more on the subject. So up until this point, Lord Chaitanya said no. Here is where Lord Chaitanya says, good, but I know there's more. And so they go more. So let's go back now to Narada Bhakti Sutra. Good enough? All right. So now Narada says, one should not find entertainment in news of women, money, and atheists. Or I would add, in movies such as Oh My God. One should put aside false pride, hypocrisy, and other vices, offering all one's activities to the Lord. One should feel desire, anger, pride, etc., only in regard to Him. After breaking through the aforementioned coverings of the three modes of material nature, one should act only in pure love of God, remaining perpetually in the mood of a servant serving one's master, or a lover serving her beloved. Among the Lord's devotees, the greatest are those who are dedicated to Him solely as His intimate servants. Conversing among one another with throats choked, hair standing on end, and tears flowing, the Lord's intimate servants purify their own followers and the whole world. And that reminds me of one of the four nutshell verses of the Bhagavad Gita. So we will go there. Do you remember the other class I gave at the temple? And I said this was the fourth of the Chatu Bhagavad nutshell verses of the Gita. So what Narada said here reminds me of verse number 3. But I have to go to the thoughts here. Here's the famous verse. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. Oh, this is not the verse. Sorry. Made a mistake. It's the one before this. It's 10:9. Sorry about that. Not 10:10. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's this one. Here we go. Mat chitta mad gata prana bodhayanta parasparam katayantas chamang nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. Here's the verse. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. Is this verse familiar? Yes. It's the second of the main verses of the seed verses of Bhagavad Gita. Okay, let's continue. Their association makes holy places holy, works auspicious, and the scriptures authoritative. So this first one. So Narada is talking about the Lord's intimate service. He says, their association makes holy places holy. Where would we find something to corroborate that? We would go to the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. We would go to where the Dura finally returns and meets up with Yudhishthira. This is after the battle of Kurukshetra. So let's find the exact verse. It's in the first canto, and it's called Dhritarashtra Quits Home. That's the chapter. And the key word is Tirtha. There it is. All right. Not that one. There it is. So Vidura went traveling to all these places of pilgrimage. The Battle of Kurukshetra was won. After the Battle of Kurukshetra, Dhritarashtra and Gandhari live with Yudhishthira. Isn't Yudhishthira great? And Yudhishthira still treats him like the king. Yudhishthira is too good. So when Vidura arrives, right, here's the conversation. This is a very nice conversation. Hold on. So let's go back, and I'll give you the setting. This is very good. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, here we go. After asking various questions and becoming established in the transcendental loving service of Lord Krishna, Vidura retired from putting questions to Maitreya Muni. That whole thing is the basis of cantos 3 and 4. 3 and 4 is the conversation between Vidura and Maitreya. Vidura originally approached Uddhava. He wanted to learn from Uddhava. And so Uddhava said no, because nearby is Maitreya, and he is older than senior to me, so it won't be proper. You go to Maitreya. But he really wanted to hear from Uddhava, but Uddhava, being humble, sent him to Maitreya. So the whole third and fourth cantos is Vidura's questions to Maitreya. After that, here's what happens. When they saw Vidura return to the palace, all the inhabitants, Yudhishthira, his younger brothers, Dhritarashtra, Satyaki, Sanjaya, Kripacharya, Kunti, Gandhari, Draupadi, Subhadra, Uttara and Kripi, and many other wives of the Kauravas and other ladies with children, all hurried to him in great delight. It so appeared that they had regained their consciousness after a long period, because Vidura is Dhritarashtra's brother. So obviously these people did not die in the Mahabharat war. All right. There's a long purport because Prabhupada explains a brief history of every one of the names. With great delight, they all approached him as if life had returned to their bodies. They exchanged obeisances and welcomed each other with embraces. Due to anxieties and long separation, they all cried out of affection. King Yudhishthira then arranged to offer sitting accommodations and a reception. After Vidura ate sumptuously and took sufficient rest, he was comfortably seated. Then the king began to speak to him, and all who were present there listened. So here's Yudhishthira. My dear uncle Vidura, do you remember how you always protected us, along with our mother, from all sorts of calamities? Your partiality, like the wings of a bird, saved us from poisoning and arson. Because it was Vidura who told Yudhishthira as they were leaving, be careful, there's going to be a fire. Duryodhana's trying to kill you. But he spoke in a very secret way. He spoke in a secret language. So Vidura saved the Pandavas from dying. So that's what he's referring to. While traveling on the surface of the earth, how did you maintain your livelihood? At which holy places and pilgrimage sites did you render service? Now here's the verse I was wanted to get to. Bhavad vidā bhagavatās tīrta bhūtā svayam vibho tīrti kuravanti tīrtāni svantak stena gadā vṛtā. My Lord, so this is Yudhishthira speaking to Vidura. My Lord, devotees like your good self are verily holy places personified, because you carry the personality of Godhead within your heart. You turn all places into places of pilgrimage. And that is how I view Srila Prabhupada. That wherever Srila Prabhupada went, yes, to me, Prabhupada was carrying Krishna in his heart. Now, someone may say, well, everybody has Krishna in their heart. True. But some people's presence makes you more interested and closer to Krishna. Yes. Even Duryodhan carried Krishna in his heart. But Duryodhan doesn't do anything for your Krishna consciousness. But when you come in contact with a great person like a Vidura, the presence of Krishna in that person's heart is much more powerful than, you know, your maid. She has Krishna in her heart, but she's not doing any Krishna consciousness for you. So it depends on the stature of the person and how they're able to manifest Krishna's qualities. Last night, I told the story of Sagara, how his sons died because of their offense, and the Ganga had to come and wash over their ashes. Then they could be delivered. So one of Ganga's conditions to Bhagirat was, well, what is going to happen when people bathe in their water, my water, and they deposit their sinful reactions? At some point, I'm going to be overwhelmed. So Bhagirath said, no problem. When the great devotees come and bathe, they will neutralize. Okay? So Narada says, the association of Krishna's intimate servants makes holy places holy, makes works auspicious, and the scriptures authoritative. In other words, the scriptures are saying so many things, but there has to be an example, a living example. Otherwise, it's just all theoretical. But when you see a genuine holy man, now the book comes alive. The intimate servants of the Supreme Lord are fully absorbed in loving Him. Thus, the pure devotees' forefathers become joyful. The demigods dance, and the world feels protected by good masters. And Nrisimhadev told Prahlad, 21 generations back and forward would be delivered only because of Prahlad. There are no distinctions among such pure devotees in terms of social class, education, bodily beauty, family status, wealth, occupation, and so on. Yes, the gopis, they're simple cowherd girls. They don't have any social standing. Prabhupada said they never went to school, so they're not educated. So all these things that Narada just mentioned, in the material world, these matter, right? You know better than me. In the material world, your social class, your education, your bodily beauty, your family status, your wealth, occupation, this determines how you are viewed in the material world. But Narada is saying amongst pure devotees, doesn't matter. None of these things matter. Pure devotees are not distinguished by externals like social class, for they belong to the Lord. So, the final chapter, attaining perfection. One should not indulge in argumentative debate. Such argumentation leads to excessive entanglements and is never decisive. One should respect the revealed scriptures of devotional service and discharge the duties they prescribe. Patiently enduring till the time when one can put aside material happiness, distress, desire, and false gain, One should not waste even a fraction of a second. And that reminds me of something that I've mentioned several times, and I'd like to go there with your permission. And that is the 9 symptoms of bhava. Let's see if we can find the 9 symptoms of bhava. 9 and bhava. Yes. Nope. That's not it. Okay, we didn't find it. So, let's try it again. Let's try clear query. You want to pause it so you don't waste yourself? Doesn't like that. 9. Kshantir avyartha kalatvam viraktir mana shunyata ashabanda samutkanta namagane sada ruchi asaktistad gunakyane pritistad vasati stale idyadayo nubhavasyur jata bhavan kure jane. So this is Lord Chaitanya teaching Sanatana Goswami the ultimate goal of life, which is love of Godhead. So here are these, right? Shanti, forgiveness. Avyarta kalat vam, being free from wasting time, which is what Narada said. Virakti, detachment. Mana shunyata, absence of false prestige. Asha bandha, hope. Samatkanta, eagerness. Namagane, enchanting the holy names. Sada, always. Ruchi, taste. Asakti, attachment. Tat, of the Lord. Guna akyane, in describing the transcendental qualities. Preeti, affection. Vasati stale, for the places of residence, like a temple or a holy place. When the seed of ecstatic emotion for Krishna fructifies, the following 9 symptoms manifest in one's behavior. Forgiveness. Concern that time should not be wasted. Detachment. Absence of false prestige. Hope. Eagerness. A taste for chanting the holy name of the Lord. Attachment to descriptions of the transcendental qualities of the Lord. An affection for those places where the Lord resides, that is, a temple or a holy place like Vrindavan. These are all called anubhava, subordinate signs of ecstatic emotion. They are visible in a person in whose heart the seed of love of God has begun to fructify. Okay, pause. So in the Nectar of Devotion, we just heard about the 9 symptoms of bhava. All right, bhava is the preliminary stage before love of God. So in the Nectar of Devotion, he goes to a little more detail about the one that Narada mentions, utilization of time. An unalloyed devotee who has developed ecstatic love for Krishna is always engaging his words in reciting prayers to the Lord. Within the mind, he is always thinking of Krishna, and with his body, he either offers obeisances by bowing down before the deity or engages in some other service. During these ecstatic activities, he sometimes sheds tears. In this way, his whole life is engaged in the service of the Lord, with not a moment wasted on any other engagement. Now, I want to read one more, which I feel would be helpful to you. And this one is one of the nine, called Great Hope. The strong conviction that one will certainly receive the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is called in Sanskrit Asha Bandha. Asha Bandha means to continue to think, because I'm trying my best to follow the routine principles of devotional service, I am sure that I will go back to God, but I will go back to Godhead, back to home. In this connection, one prayer by Rupa Goswami is sufficient to exemplify this hopefulness. He says, I have no love for Krishna, nor for the causes of developing love of Krishna, namely hearing and chanting. And the process of bhakti yoga, by which one is always thinking of Krishna and fixing his lotus feet in the heart, is also lacking in me. As far as philosophical knowledge or pious works are concerned, I don't see any opportunity for me to execute such activities. But above all, I'm not even born of a nice family. Therefore, I must simply pray to you, Gopi Janavallabha, Krishna, maintainer and beloved of the gopis. I simply wish and hope that some way or other I may be able to approach your lotus feet. And this hope is giving me pain, because I think myself quite incompetent to approach that transcendental goal of life. The purport of this is that under this heading of Asha Bandha, one should continue to hope against hope that some way or other he will be able to approach the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So that is you. Hope against hope. And now we will go back to Narada Bhakti Sutras. One should cultivate such good qualities as nonviolence, truthfulness, cleanliness, compassion, and faith. And Nirantara Das adds, you will automatically cultivate this the more you chant the holy name, because it will automatically manifest. You don't have to work on this independently. Simply by nicely chanting every day, these good qualities will automatically manifest. Those who are free of doubts should constantly worship the Supreme Lord with all their hearts. When the Lord is glorified, he swiftly reveals himself to his devotees and allows them to know him as he is. Devotional service is the most precious possession of a person who honestly uses his or her mind, body, and words. Although devotional service is one, it becomes manifested in 11 forms of attachment. Number one, attachment to the Lord's glorious qualities. Number two, attachment to his beauty. 3, attachment to worshiping him. Number 4, attachment to remembering him. 5, attachment to serving him. 6, attachment to reciprocating with him as a friend. 7, attachment to caring for him as a parent. 8, attachment to dealing with him as a lover. Number 9, attachment to surrendering one's whole self to him. 10, attachment to being absorbed in thought of Him, and number 11, attachment to experiencing separation from Him. And Narada says, this last attachment is supreme. And that is the whole mood of Lord Chaitanya's preaching. Vipralambha seva. Feeling intense separation. That is what Lord Chaitanya experienced in the final 12 years of his life in Jagannath Puri. Or is it the last 18 years of his life? 18. Because he lived 24 years as a sannyasi, 6 were traveling, so the last 18 years was all about this, experiencing separation from Krishna. The same mood of when Uddhava delivered the message from Krishna to the gopis, that, or when Balaram and Krishna were taken out of Vrindavan by Akura, the gopis were all crying and simply dying because Krishna was being taken away. Thus say the founding authorities of devotional service, the Kumaras, Vyas, Shukadev, Shandilya, Garga, Vishnu, Kaundilya, Shesha, Uddhava, Aruni, Bali, Hanuman, Vibhishan, and others, speaking without fear of worldly gossip and sharing among themselves one and the same opinion. Anyone who trusts these instructions spoken by Narada and is convinced of them will be blessed with devotion and attain the most dear Lord. Yes, he or she will attain the most dear Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The question about Prahlad Maharaj. So here's your first reference. The demons, Rakshasas, the servants of Hiranyakashipu, thus began striking the tender parts of Prahlad Maharaj's body with their tridents. The demons all had fearful faces, sharp teeth, and reddish coppery beards and hair, and they appeared extremely threatening, making a tumultuous sound, shouting, "Chop him up! Pierce him!" They began striking Prahlad Maharaj, who sat silently meditating upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead.